I'm Elizabeth Reese.
I'm Marjorie Punnett.
This is Best to the Nest, the podcast that's all about creating strong, comfortable, beautiful nests that prepare us to fly. Hi, Marjorie.
How are you?
I'm doing busy. Well.
Are you busy today?
I felt like I had nothing going on, and then it turned out I had to host an extra show, do a call that lasted a long time. I have to go get blood drawn for new life insurance. Isn't that exciting? What an adulting thing to do.
Absolutely.
And then I have to go, and then I go do Twin Cities Live. So I was like, oh, tomorrow's really easy. And then turned out it wasn't, but it's been good. It's been very nice, and it's a rainy day. And And we're just kind of like gearing up for school. We got a little date night tonight. So all is well in the Reimers household.
All is well. Well, we're going to do August watch, read, listen. But before we get into that, I have a quick little story to tell you. So yesterday,
please tell.
There's a lot going on here, which I won't get into right in this moment.
Oh,
but I'm starting a new job. My mom's situation has turned into a crisis point. Blah, blah, blah,
Marjorie.
So it's just a lot, which is fine. So I was a little stressed yesterday and I'm not feeling really well, not COVID, but I've got a little bit of something that my sons passed to me when I was in Chicago helping them move. So it's just like a little sinus infection. So there's a lot going on. So we're in the car and my husband was asking, Ian was asking me about something and I sort of responded harshly.
A little bit of tone
in there. And so we go to dinner and we're sitting at dinner and he's like, I'm like, so let's talk about, because he kind of shuts down when that happens, big surprise. And I'm like, so like, let's talk about what happened. And he's like, well, you know, it's just the way you respond. And he said, you know, I've been listening to this podcast called Best to the Nest, and you know,
that's a real kick in the craw when they bring that up.
He's like, you know, it's been really helpful about how we should bring our best to the nest. I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll listen to that someday. Maybe I'll do that. But anyway, so just so y'all know, it's a work in progress always. This podcast is aspirational.
Even for the people who host it. Yes. 100%.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I love that. We do that a lot. We do a lot of the, are you bringing your nest to best to the nest? Is this the best you have for the nest in this moment?
It's not very good. It's
not feeling very best to me. No, right. It's feeling like you're trying to take this nest apart and burn it down.
That's
I know.
That's right. I was trying to burn it down yesterday. Trying to burn it down.
Happens to the best of us. That is absolutely true. But you know what? You can always just distract from what's going on by consuming some wonderful media. So I want to know what you're watching. What have you been watching lately?
I think you'd like what I'm watching right now. I'm about halfway through it and it's called The Last Movie Stars. It's a documentary about Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward.
Don't
have as much of an influence on your like celebrity world as they do on mine. I mean, he was older obviously than me, but Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid was a huge hit when I was like 10, and so he was a part of, you know, he was a part of me growing up. And this is really interesting. It's a documentary on HBO Max directed by Ethan Hawke, who most people know him from
Reality Bites, obviously. Hello. I mean, come on.
Reality Bites. And then what was the movie with Robin Williams where they're all in a private boys' school? That's really when he became sort of famous.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember. This is not going to be good. I remember, too, that he cheated on Uma Thurman. And I remember that as sort of like a pivotal lesson to me that is actually really interesting, that it doesn't matter how like perfect you seem and how beautiful you are and whatever, that someone can still cheat on you. I don't know if that's a good lesson. But I remember being shocked by that because Uma Thurman was like hot when that happened.
And hot career wise. And what's interesting is I did a little bit of a deep dive on that cheating scandal because he says no, that he wasn't cheating. As he said, it's very vague, but basically the cheating came maybe while the marriage was disintegrating. After the marriage had disintegrated. You know, it's all very vague. But at the same time, while it's all very vague, there are quotes from him saying, we are not meant to be monogamous. So, you know, that's a little. But what's interesting about the Ethan Hawke thing, he did end up marrying a woman who had been his children's nanny briefly, which is always quite difficult. But anyway, he's an interesting choice to direct this because he was asked by Paul Newman's daughter to do it. I would love for you to watch it just from a production standpoint. It's very interesting. It was produced during the pandemic and he was given this treasure trove of interviews because Paul Newman had wanted to do an autobiography. So he had gone out with an assistant and they had done interviews with everybody that he worked with, all his personal contacts. They'd recorded all of these, his ex-wife,
wow,
his ex-wife who he left for Joanna Woodward. I mean,
no
Paul
way.
Newman and Joanna Woodward had a 5-year affair and
oh
Paul
gosh.
Newman had 3 kids with his first wife. They interviewed her. So all of this stuff should have been available to Ethan Hawke, except Paul Newman went out and burned all of the tapes, but somebody had transcribed them. So working off the transcriptions, Ethan Hawke hires all of these actor friends. So George Clooney is the voice of Paul Newman. So they reenact some of these interviews. So it's a really interesting hodgepodge of sort of techniques to bring the story to life. It doesn't always work. And they did it during COVID. So you get a lot of really mm-hmm. like bad Zoom sessions in the midst of the documentary. It's really interesting. And as a producer, I look at that and I really admire what he's trying to do. I think he mm-hmm. kind of loses his way sometimes, but the story okay. that emerges, which makes it worthwhile to watch, I think for anybody who's interested in sort of old Hollywood, and then also interested in how a woman navigates motherhood and success. Mm-hmm. Joanne Woodward is actually quoted as saying, if she had to do it again, even though she loves her children, she probably wouldn't have had children. And she says this because she so sacrificed her career because she ended up, you know, 1950s, 1960s, 1970s, she ended up raising the children. So it's a very interesting,
man.
It's a little bit of a mess in terms of it's a 6-part series, but there are a lot of really interesting themes that come up that even in light of like Venus Williams,
Which is exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah. It's like a timeless issue for women, which we could do mm-hmm. a whole podcast on that, but it touches on a lot of themes, including alcoholism and name it, this marriage went through it. So I think you'd really enjoy it. I do. It's very complex.
Interesting. Okay. So 6-part series. Did you say it's on Netflix?
HBO Max.
HBO Max. Okay, good. Yep. Thank you. Yep. They both have an X and then I get confused and
it's
I don't
okay.
know which one
it's
it
okay.
is. I get it. My pick is on Netflix. I watched this movie the other night and it's just kind of cheesy, but also kind of wonderful. And I think that you should watch it, Marjorie. So This movie's on Netflix. It's called Purple Hearts. And
I'm okay.
It was suggested to be by Netflix because I was watching Virgin River and I finished the third season of Virgin River with great delight and joy. Okay. And then I watched this movie, Purple Hearts. So Sophia Carson is in it. You will not know Sophia Carson, but my children love The Descendants. And so she is one of like the Disney stars on The Descendants series. And she's very talented. She's a great singer. So in this movie, she's an aspiring musician and she marries this soon to deploy Marine. And they do it because she needs health insurance and he needs money for a reason too. And so when you get married, you get military benefits. She had no health insurance and she's also a type 1 diabetic. And so that was like the big problem of why she needed the health insurance because she couldn't pay for her insulin. And, you know, I got to tell you, it's kind of like a cheesy Lifetime movie, but like with a little bit more depth and some really banger music in there because she's a musician. And so they show her like playing and then he kind of becomes her muse. I'm telling you, it's 2 hours and 2 minutes long. You're not going to regret that you watched it. You're going to feel like this is great. And what I want you to do, Nesters, is I want you to watch this when you're not distracted by like a husband or a child or something. Like I want you to find a time when you can consume this movie with perhaps some of your favorite food. Like if you want to have some salt and vinegar chips and like French onion dip, or if you want to like order in sushi for yourself. I mean, whatever you want to do, I want you to curate this experience for yourself so that it just feels like what it should be, which is just like some wonderful joy and hopefully with some sort of crunchy, salty, sweet snack. It's
there you go.
Great.
And I'm not judging because I'm also the woman that watched Marry Me. So I'm not judging.
Love this. No, yeah, you're going to love it.
I'm not judging. And I think, no, you know what?
You're laughing with me. And I painted a picture for you that you are going to create for sure.
I'm good. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with being transported romantically. That's a beautiful thing, especially these days. Okay. So right now I'm reading stuff that I won't even really go into. I'm reading a lot of academic journals and stuff.
All right. So the nerd alert has to go out. Okay. But you're not going to share an academic journal, please, for the love of God.
I'm not going to, but it does allow me just to say the change that's coming in my life is I'm going back to school. So I got accepted to the graduate program here at Kansas State University, which is really fun to be 58 years old and going back to school. I've been trying to go back to school since I was in my 30s. And then children would get, you know, I shouldn't say get in the way, but... Let's just say it. Children would get in the way. Jobs got in the way. But I've been literally trying to go back to school for like 25 years. And so it's sort of really fun. And I'm also going to be teaching next semester. And so I'm
it's just so exciting.
It's really fun. I'm sort of buried in all of that. But in order to get accepted, this is the funny part, Elizabeth. I had to do like a proper application. Which most people are anywhere between 21 and 30 when they're applying for their master's, you know, to go into a master's program. So when I talk to the head of the department, I'm like, you have to have an 8-page paper to submit. So most people just submit something that they've just written.
Yeah.
For their undergraduate thesis. I don't have anything like that. I've got TV scripts.
They're not 8 pages. I can tell you that.
So I had to write, I don't even know if I told you about this on the podcast. So if I'm repeating myself, everybody. So
You told me about it on a phone call when you told me you were going back to school. And I said, oh, it's the Punnett way.
It's the Punnett way. So I had to write an 8-page paper. And what was so fun is I wrote it. I sent it off to my son to take a look at it. And he's like, he just wrote back and said, we need to chat, which basically means the paper sucks. So I had to call him. He's like, yeah, I think you ought to start over. So I had to start
over. Shoot, dog.
And so, but I wrote another one. I liked it. I submitted it. It's fine. And I got into the program. And so it's very exciting. So that's what I've been just reading, a lot of stuff to get to write the paper and to get accepted and all of that stuff. So there's nothing that I think anybody would be interested in except me. So that's the only suggestion I can say is go back to school.
That's okay. Yeah, go back to school. Well, I'll mention something that I mentioned last week, but I am continuing on. I'm actually listening to it on Audible, but you can certainly read it. And this is the book Life Force by Tony Robbins, co-written by two doctors as well. And they have a whole panel of like leading health experts who weigh in and contribute to this book. It's a 22-hour listen on Audible. As I mentioned last week, I am now, I think I have 15 and a half hours left. I've really been listening to it like non-stop. And as I said last week, let me just bring up to nesters who maybe are feel that Tony Robbins is problematic. All of the proceeds from this book are being donated. So if that makes you feel better, if you don't want to consume it for that reason too, it's certainly not going to hurt my feelings. I just think like it is really fascinating, like the collective group of health experts that he was able to bring together to really talk about some things are technical, but a lot of it is like really layman's terms, just about the amazing advances in treating certain diseases. And then also the amazing advances in testing and some of the self-monitoring that you can do through tests that you'll be able to ask for from a healthcare professional that are not going to be just offered to you. You will have to advocate for yourself to get these tests done. That being said, it's simple to get most of them done, where you can get a really complete picture of your health and optimizing your health. And it's good. It's really, it's a very interesting book. If you kind of nerd out on some like, you know, health and wellness and that idea of optimizing your health that we talked about so much with Senya, I think you're going to be interested in this book.
Yeah, I am going to get that from Audible. And we keep going back to this. It's sort of a recurring theme in the podcast of optimizing health. And I just think what's exciting for you and for anybody that's listening, in your 40s, this is such a key time to zero in on what your baseline is.
Yeah,
it really is. I mean, obviously you should be healthy. You should try and be healthy your whole life. But I mean, your 20s and 30s are a little crazy and there's a lot of stuff going on for women.
Well, you can rebound from treating your body badly.
Yeah, you have the time to do it. You really do. And I think most women are done with having children and your body changes after that. So you get a new baseline. You're doing this in the perfect time. But this idea of optimizing your health, I'm telling you from, you know, I think I've done okay. But at 58, even for me, it's really important now to sort of get a new baseline and figure out what, like, I'm in my last 30. Because I want to optimize the last 30. I don't want to live to be 90. I really don't. I'm not even sure I want to live to be 80. But I'd like to optimize my health between now and 80. And just make sure.
I would like you to live to be 90, just so let the record show. So like, just so you know, but you know, this is the interesting thing about it. I mean, and this is what they talk about so much in this book is that idea of getting older, but you know, he, like Tony Robbins talks about the same thing. He's like, okay, I'm looking at all these longevity experts when I started going down this road. And he's like, I don't think I want to live to be 100, but 100 is different, you know, like even the 40 of today is totally different than the 40 was 20 years ago. And like we talked about 200 years ago, the life expectancy was 45. Right. So you weren't even, I mean, so that idea that we could like increase lifespan is number one, not far-fetched. And number two, it's also, you have to remember that the definition of like what life will look like for you at that age, if you are able to take care of yourself, is totally different, because I want to live a long life and I also want a swift decline. Like those are the two things that are really important to me. And I would say I would probably flip-flop them. I would like the swift decline to be priority number one and the long life to be priority number two. Right. And so when you can sort of zero in on some of those goals, and then figure out the ways that you can get there. But the bottom line is, you know, health is so co-opted by marketing that it's impossible for, like, if you don't take an interest in learning, you will never be able to figure out what healthy means. Because go through the grocery store aisle, you want to list all the crap that says health on it. Like, it's 200 things, I bet, within walking, you know, through three aisles that will say healthy, that I would probably argue, and most health experts, I'm not a health expert, I'm just an enthusiast, but that they would say are not healthy too. So you really have to, like,
enthusiast.
You have to do your own research, and then you have to empower yourself. And this book, I think, is really helpful in doing that. So I would say it, you know, the caveat is that I don't necessarily think the narrator, I could never listen to Tony Robbins talk for this long. Okay. Because his voice would drive me crazy. He does the first chapter and the last chapter. The narrator who does the rest of it is not that great, in my opinion. I'm sure a wonderful person, you know, and probably hosts great parties and is generous and kind, but whatever. It's just, his voice is like a little dry for me. So I'm not going to sing the praises of the Audible performance, but for me, that's the best way for me to consume it right now.
Especially a book like that.
And I think you could read it.
Especially it's a big book. That. Well, those are the greatest kind of books to consume on Audible or just in an audio version, because the writing isn't precious. Like, it's not like you're trying to, oh my gosh, that's such a beautiful sentence, or no, it's information. No. You're just taking in information.
I might go back. I might actually purchase the hardcover the actual book, so that I can like then just bust through and skim through and post-it note some things.
That's true.
The way that I tackle it.
Well, I will tell you this idea of optimizing your health. Ian's aunt and uncle, who I just adored, they were the greatest couple. They were this cute couple. They never had children. They came up to us after we got married. And mind you, I was pretty young when we got married. And they sort of pulled us over to a corner and they said, you're going to feel a lot of pressure to have children. We're just here to tell you, it's great not having kids. So just know that that's an alternative lifestyle. Which I so love, because you do get all of that pressure.
You totally do. It's as soon as, when are you going to have a baby? And I will make the argument that probably people who don't have children, if you like by and large asked them about the happiness scale on their marriage.
Yeah.
If you don't have children, you are likely going to say you're happier in your marriage than people who do. It's just a complicating factor. And it doesn't mean it's not worth it.
Nope. But it was just so cute. They wanted to give us license to make that choice.
But I love that's their alternative lifestyle.
They were so wonderful. But he died last year and he was 91 and he passed away in his sleep. She is 92 and lives on her own, still drives a car, handles all of her own investments, handles everything. She's as sharp as can be. And so, and they lived a very aware lifestyle in that sense, I think health-wise. And so I think that to your point is to live long, you know, fade fast. That's sort of the goal, you know, as opposed to, you know, just, I think what is interesting to me, and you'll start to see this as you get older, Elizabeth, are people who become very accepting of the medications that they're given to solve problems, which diet, habit, other things could solve. And that's
That's basically like masking symptoms.
It's a really slippery slope. And I just think optimizing your health and doing the sort of deep dives that you do. It's just I admire it so much because I think it's going to make a difference. So
I love that slogan that you just came up with. Live long, fade fast.
Did I just come up with that? I'm a little delirious.
I want to put it on a t-shirt. I want to put it on a mug. I'm going to put it on a shaker bottle and shake a protein shake in it.
There you go.
All right. Okay. What are you listening to?
Another Punnett Way. You say that's the Punnett Way. Another Punnett Way is this is what we were listening to last night on a conversation with our son, Campbell. As a family, we love the Bond movies.
For sure. Fun.
And those were some of the, we allowed the boys to watch Bond movies probably at a much younger age than other adult movies. So last night we got into this big discussion about what are the best Bond themes. Swear to God, like an hour gone of our life, of all of us just going through like, what are the best Bond themes? But there's an article in Variety which lists all of the best Bond movies. And I will tell you, like as a Friday night activity, if you're a Bond fan, super fun. I mean, it's super fun to go back and remember. But what would you say is the best Bond movie or Bond movie theme?
The theme song. Well, I love the Adele one, the Skyfall song.
That was like just 10.
That was number 10 on the list.
So. Yeah, hold on. What? I have to pull this up. Talk about.
This isn't ranking the movies. This is ranking the theme songs.
Bond themes. And that's what we were listening to last night. But I had it pulled up and it went away. So tell me what you're listening to. And then I'll give you all the answers when you come back because I got to pull up.
Okay. Well, I have them here. Do you want me to tell you?
Or yes. No, you can get them. Faster than I am.
Well, Sam Smith's Writing on the Wall from Spectre of 2015 was number 26.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
That was the lowest one. I'll just get to 19 was Tomorrow Never Dies, Sheryl Crow from Tomorrow Never Dies in 1997.
Yeah, Live and Let Die, Paul McCartney's, which is one of the best Bond themes ever, was fifth. Which was so surprising.
Really? Adele Skyfall was number 13 on their list.
Which I think is too low. It should have been higher.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's a great one. Let's see. Number 7, Carly Simon, Nobody Does It Better.
Pretty awesome.
I didn't even realize that was a Bond theme song. I got to watch more of these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you got to do a Bond marathon.
Definitely need to do a marathon. Paul McCartney and the Wings, Live and Let Die. That was from 1973, was number 5. Nancy Sinatra, You Only Live Twice, was number 4. John Barry did the James Bond theme from 1962. That's the instrumental one. I mean, that's like the
argument in our family last night is that really shouldn't have counted, but that's
true. And then number 1 is Shirley Bassey, Diamonds Are Forever from Diamonds Are Forever in 1971.
But that's what the Punnett's
are. Oh, this is fun.
Yeah, it is kind of fun.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's fun. That's like a good cabin conversation. You know, talking about sort of music bringing you back, though, that's exactly the route that I'm going for my listening. Because when we were up at the lake last weekend, we did this really fun. We're just everything's so 90s right now. The 90s are hot. The 90s are back. I mean, our nanny Margot wears things that I say to her, like, I swear to you, I wore this exact outfit in high school. Oh, like, it's unbelievable. God. I have now become that person who says that to high school students. And and I am just loving all the 90s. So what we did when we were on a boat with my best friend and her husband is we just did like a round robin, pick a 90s song and then we'll play it. Right. And so we were, and then it was just so funny because we just start telling stories about like what that song brings us back to. And that was what was very fun. And so I'm loving that we were kind of on that same theme here with what we're listening to is right. just if you throw out some 90s music, like the song Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba
is a
definitive song that if I hear it, I am immediately brought back to the little drive-through coffee shop that I used to work at when I was in high school. And I can like, I mean, I literally like, I can smell the coffee when I hear the song. It's wild. So it's kind of fun to start then tossing out some of those 90s songs, remember where you were, have some conversations with your friends. But I love that both of the things we're listening to was like sparking conversation. So yeah. That's very fun.
A little retro. And we could do a book called Cabin Conversations. Just a little, that's or a game. Turn it into a game.
It could be a game. That's a great idea. All right. Listen, very fun chatting with you today, Marjorie. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Give us a review at Apple Podcasts. This is the longest review I've ever seen. And this is very exciting, Marjorie.
I know. This is from Amy Ann Nine. And she wrote to say this really hit home. And this was a podcast that my husband and I did a couple weeks ago. And I think that the name of it was Time is Ticking. But she said, first of all, I love the podcast and look forward to listening every week. This week's episode really hit home for me as we're taking our oldest to college in just 3 weeks. And my emotions are all over the place. Happy, sad, excited, terrified. You and Ian did such a great job of putting things into perspective for this college mom newbie. And I am so grateful. As a high school English teacher, I also appreciated the message about college writing and reading. The best writers are avid readers, and a liberal arts education prepares you for the person you want to be. I went to Notre Dame, and Father Hesburgh, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly, former president of the university said, and I am paraphrasing, that you go to college not to become something, but rather to become someone. Thank you for driving home that message. And thank you for the wonderful podcast. Oh, and I too had to purchase the Riverside Shakespeare and the Riverside Chaucer in college, such as the life of an English major. We were commiserating on, if you're an English major in the 80s in particular, there was a beautifully bound, all of the works of Shakespeare. Everybody has to take Shakespeare. Didn't enjoy that class very much. The book was like $100, like in the 80s. I mean, it was so expensive. It was so expensive. So
that's like $500 in today's dollars.
Oh, it was insane. It was insane, but you had to have it. And so anyway, and I always wanted my books to be new because I didn't want anybody else's highlighting in it. So I was very particular.
Here I was like, could I borrow someone so I don't have to buy this? I mean, honest to God.
Are some foundational differences between us.
I like you better. It's a joy when we find them.
Yeah, I like you better.
It's probably a slightly easier living with me, Marjorie, but exactly. You know what I always say, wherever you go, there you are.
Oh my God, is that true? Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Best of the Nest. We are the podcast that brings you home.